south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Here's something you didn't know. I've been out at some unreachable locations for about a month now. So the shows you've been hearing for the last couple of weeks were pre-recorded and in the can. Actually, all the shows are pre-recorded about a day or two before they go out. Though this time I built up a 6-show backlog because I knew I was going to be unreachable and unable to record for about a month. Now, this show, first going out on April 29th, 2018, is the last one I have in the can, so the next 2 shows will be pulled out from the Greatest Hits archive. Or maybe it's Greatest Misses, whatever you want to call it. I mean, hey, you longtime listeners know I've been doing this for, what, 7 or 8 years now? And I've got over 750 shows out there. Well, you know what they say, some people are born to listen and others born to talk. And I can tell you, when you're a listener, you win that race every time. Because, as my mother used to say, Johnny, you should shut up once in a while. You know, you don't learn anything by talking. But what saved me was I like to read. I'll read anything, even the Drano bottle or whatever else is under the sink in the bathroom cabinet. Hell, you spend, as one scientist calculated, about 150 days of your life sitting on the throne in the John. So why don't you make good use of it and read something? Skip the pawing at your smartphone. That's highly unsanitary, you know. Or at least check out an audiobook. Meanwhile, the number of toxic chemicals under the sink keeps growing and growing, so at least I'll always have reading material. Speaking of audiobooks, a lot of older folks, retired folks, are into those these days. I see quite a few mostly older expats sporting earbuds, and I say bully for them. But I'll tell you what's really weird, running into an expat sporting earbuds who's listening to one of my shows. Yep, it's the miracle of modern whatever. Which sort of makes me wonder what I'd be doing if I hadn't got into this radio/podcasting biz. Wonder what restaurant I'd be washing dishes at. By the way, speaking of audiobooks, how many of you listeners out there are into that? Sure beats listening to Kanye, Pitbull, or Daddy Yankee. Fact is, I'd rather listen to a chorus of cattle breaking wind. Be definitely more melodic. Chances are a concert of cows would smell better, too. But I digress. Man, did I digress. Now, some people say, Johnny, you're real brave saying this kind of stuff on the air, especially when you're in an undisclosed location. To which I say, what, you calling me yellow? Go ahead, put Kanye or Pitbull right in front of me and I'll say it right to their faces. In fact, I'll spray it right in their faces. But where were we? Oh yeah, we weren't much of anywhere. All right, then let's get back on track. Here's an email from a guy who signs it Dr. Zen. Says, Dear Johnny, I am a faithful listener and a faithful risk taker too. All my life, when people say, you can't do this or you can't do that, that's usually enough to give me the motivation to try it. When I was a kid, I used to walk across this bridge on my hands for a buck, simply because people said I couldn't do it. Even now, I bet I still could. For $100, maybe. Inflation, you know? I'm in my mid-50s now, and I've had a dozen or so businesses in California, and true to form, most of them failed, but 2 of them ended up taking off. Of course, that was a while back, before Governor Moonbeam and his associates decided to tax and regulate most businesses out of existence. Then he says, Johnny, right now I'm having a fight with California State over some water and land rights. And being that everyone is saying I will surely lose this fight or go broke trying, that only makes me want to fight it out to the end. I admit I am an alpha dog. That means I'll lock horns with any other alpha dog that threatens me, even if I'm wrong. And true to form, I like a good fight, but deep down I know I'll never win against the state. But no one's going to tell me what to do. I've earned my right to make my own mistakes, and by God, if I go down trying, at least I'll have the satisfaction that I did it my way, just like the Sinatra song. However, I'm not so single-minded that I don't have a plan B. So, Johnny, I'm coming down to Latin America to check it out, make some contacts, and have myself kind of an insurance policy. That is, before the state of California bankrupts me. In fact, right now, I'm in the process of divesting things and getting some of my assets out of the country. Like I said, I'm not one who's ever walked away from a fight. So I gave my accountant and U.S. lawyer a chunk of change, and I said, keep slugging, and when the money runs out, so will I. Meanwhile, I've got a plan B. So, Johnny, put me down for your seminar in July. I'll be down to scout out some business ideas. I know it'll help that my Spanish level's around a 4 or 5. You pick that up, you know, if you're a business owner in California, especially if your business involves hiring unskilled workers. You know, they all seem to have perfect Spanish. Go figure, huh? So if you're a hands-on type boss like me, you do pick it up. So, Johnny, I'm coming down, and like I said, I'm the kind of guy who likes to make my own mistakes. The trick is, at my stage in life anyway, is to have as much fun as you can till you trip over your own feet, as long as you don't blow a hole in your bank account. Just one thing about making your own mistakes. He says, remember, I'm Dr. Zen, and you always learn more by your mistakes and failures than your successes. You need some failures along the way. You need it to get a thick skin. I found there's nothing more valuable than having a thick skin when you're trying to start a new business. You run into so many brick walls, especially here in the States. If you're the fragile sort, you'll just cave and end up punching a time card working for someone like me. So anyway, Johnny, see you at the seminar, unless I punch out some California bureaucrat and end up in an orange jumpsuit. Signed, Dr. Zen. All right, Doc, thanks for that. Though I must say, seems a bit angry for a Zen kind of guy, huh? Though I often wonder about you listeners up in California. Why is it you're still there? I mean, look, you're in a state that's a bellwether for the rest of the country. They always say, as California goes, so goes the rest of the country. Oh, no, not good. Truth is, I don't know how anybody can think of starting a brick-and-mortar business in California, that's for sure. In fact, I just read in the news that people, entrepreneurial types, are leaving San Francisco and Los Angeles in droves. Not only is it terribly difficult to do business, the cost of living is, well, out of control, especially housing and rent. But you knew that already. All right, moving on here. Hate to keep giving you bad news about Ecuador. Sure, it's still a great place for a plan B, but it's going in reverse fast. Listen to this, coming directly out of a gringo expat English language rag/website. Starts out, foreigners living in Ecuador without valid visas have until Monday, April 2nd, that's already passed now, to get their affairs in order. After that, they face fines as high as, get this, $6,000. All right, let's stop there for a second. I have to say, in every single Latin country, I've met gringos and expats whose visas are no longer valid or they've overstayed their visas. That's actually pretty common, especially with the backpacker crowd. Remember, in most Latin countries, you get 90 days. Then you have to either pop out of the country and get a stamp from an adjacent one, proving you've left, or go down to that country's immigration office and get a 90-day extension. But normally, you can only do that once a year. That means if you're on a tourist visa, and 90% of people are, you can only stay legally in almost all Latin countries for 180 days. Then you have to get out. Of course, once you've gone out and stayed in another country for a couple of days, you can come back and start the process again. That's legal. But the truth is, you meet gringos and expats constantly who've overstayed their visas. Therefore, they're no longer valid. And just lately, in the case of Ecuador, subject to very heavy fines. All right, then the article continues. It says, like many provisions of the country's new immigration law, enforcement may be delayed. As with most everything in Latin America, laws are passed without making provisions for enforcement or personnel. But eventually they do get around to it and make examples of people too. Then it says, proof of this fact is that the April 3rd deadline date is the third deadline issued by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Human Mobility, the agency responsible for immigration. Yep, you heard right. The Ministry of Human Mobility. Man, that always makes me laugh. Does that not sound like a chapter out of George Orwell? So why is Ecuador suddenly becoming so tough on immigration and visas, etc.? That is, except of course on Middle Easterners and Muslims, as mentioned in a previous show. Anyway, well, here's why. For one thing, the government's found out that it's completely broke. And we'll get to that shortly. But according to Raul Abad, Ecuador's regional director from the Ministry of Human Mobility. Again with the human mobility thing. How'd you like to have that on your business card? Anyway, he says the root of the problem is the massive influx of Venezuelans who've entered the country in recent months. Then he says, although Venezuelans are the largest group of unregistered aliens in Ecuador, turns out thousands of citizens from other countries are also unregistered or have overstayed their visas and are therefore in the country illegally, including those from Cuba, Haiti, Colombia, Peru, and the United States, all of whom will now be burdened with the new visa requirements. And it's the Venezuelans who have really thrown a wrench in the works. He says they have the worst problems of all, since they have an inability to obtain legal documents from their own country. The Venezuelan government is in such disarray, they either cannot or will not provide documents, or legalize documents by apostille. By the way, it's me, Johnny, again. You guys and gals looking to get residency in most Latin countries know you have to get certain documents from your home country apostilled in your home country by your state government. That'd be good conduct reports, marriage certificates, proof of income, things like that. So they're saying Venezuelans can't get their government to do that anymore. Even worse, it says, in Venezuela, they're not even issuing passports anymore. So there are many Venezuelans in Ecuador whose passports have expired and cannot get an updated one or a new one. And according to Ecuador immigration officials, more than 500,000 Venezuelans have entered since 2012, with up to 40,000 of them unregistered or with expired documents. And nobody knows how many gringos and expats are in Ecuador illegally. That means past their normal 90-day visa allowance. All right, here's my two cents on that. All I can say is that I meet gringos constantly who've been in a particular Latin country for years. Some are illegal, and they'll admit it. Though they all came in legally, they're well past their expiration date. You'll find some of those guys mostly out in the boonies and at various small town beaches off the tourist trail. Normally, they've settled down into a very rustic pattern. They've picked up a Latin girlfriend, wife, or family along the way. By the way, it usually happens to gringo guys. I really haven't met too many American gringas who've overstayed their visas for a long, long time. However, over the years, I've met quite a few European ladies, mostly backpacker types, who've overstayed their visas for years and are definitely illegal. Oddly enough, most of them have really gone native. Or grungy hippie, take your pick. You know, sandals, tattoos, piercings, the works. And they're not loners. They're usually hooked up with a Latin guy, have a family, kids, living the laid-back kind of hippie life. A stark contrast from the normal regimented Northern European lifestyle. So how's that happen? Well, glad you asked. The story usually goes something like this. They get out of a university in Europe, work a few years, don't like it much, and when they get that month off, they go backpacking in Latin America and find a completely different world of laid-back and manana-type people. Then, vacation's over, they go back to Europe, work another year, and they just can't stand it. Every day is torture, and all they're thinking about is getting back to Latin America and manana time. So they work a year, get that month off again, only they know it's not going to be a month. They're going back and staying. And what do you think happens when a young first world lady comes down to Latin America? Well, it's like bees to honey, the bees being the Latin guys. So many of these ladies end up hooking up with these guys, having a kid or two, moving to a laid-back beach town or out in the boonies. Man, I'll tell you, last time I was in Nicaragua and Costa Rica, I ran into dozens of mostly Northern European ladies who had overstayed their visas and had been in the country illegally a long, long time. Yet, oddly enough, you rarely meet an American lady in that situation. Though it does happen, and I've met one or two. Still, it's gringo males who take the cake for overstaying their visas, sometimes for years. And lately, my favorite story on that note is a gringo I met at a party, married a Mexican girl, and never bothered to go down to immigration and report that he was married. If he would have done so within a certain time period, his residency would have been automatic. But he didn't do it. And you know, it would have been easy to keep himself legal by just popping out of the country every once in a while. In fact, I asked him if he didn't feel a bit of cabin fever being stuck in Mexico all that time without ever leaving. He said, nah, Mexico is huge. There's plenty to do. If I was stuck in Costa Rica or Belize, yeah, I'd have left. I'd have had cabin fever, but Mexico is huge. So for 5 years, or was it seven, he'd overstayed his visa. And then he got news from his family up in Arizona. His brother died. Now, this guy was only maybe 40 years old, married to a Mexicana, had a couple kids. And of course, with that bad news from the States, he had to go to the funeral. It was his only brother. Anyway, they were living in Mexico City, so he went online, booked himself a ticket, packed up everything, went to the airport, walked up to the Delta Airline ticket counter, handed over his passport. The lady attendant scanned it, said, wait a minute, your last entrance stamp was years ago. You never left. And you've got no residency seal in your passport. By the way, she was referring to the fact that when you get residency in a Latin country, they take your passport for a couple of days and paste a one-page permanent residency sticker. And it looks just about like the first page on your passport. It's got your photo on it, too. So, you'll actually have two photos in your passport. Your normal ugly one, and an even uglier one for your Latin country residency page. Well, naturally, this guy didn't have that, and the attendant told him he'd been in the country so long, he was in deep doo-doo. So the next day, he went to Mexican immigration and paid a fine of around $6,000, which he didn't have, but luckily, the members of his family up in Arizona chipped in and sent him a remisa by Western Union. Hey, Latinos in the States send remisas to Latin America. Why can't gringos do it? The thing is, this guy was bright, but he had no common sense. Nor did he have a Latin lawyer to consult with. And to think, all he had to do, after he got married, that is, was to take a few trips to Mexican immigration, and he'd have been a legal permanent resident. Yep, some of us are so smart, yet so dumb. And sometimes so cheap. By the way, speaking of getting residency through matrimony, all 20 Latin American countries will permit that, but there's a one-year waiting period. For good reason, too. Since it's a well-known fact that one of the easiest ways to remain in a foreign country legally or even get citizenship in a foreign country is to marry a local. So there's a nice thriving little underground or gray market business in that kind of thing. Marriage by convenience, you might call it. In fact, you'll even see it advertised in certain sleazy journals and in some places on the net. And that, by the way, is pretty much what's behind all of those Russian, Colombian, and Asian mating and dating hookup sites. Although they don't come right out and say it, it's mostly lonely heart first world guys, introverted, homely, caustic, or just unlucky in love. But making first world salaries, hooking up with third world ladies who really don't give a damn about what kind of guy they're hooking up with, as long as he makes first world money and has a first world passport, and therefore can assist in upping her lifestyle drastically and provide a means to get permanent residency in a first world country. So there really is a huge difference between the mating and dating hookup sites in the first world versus those sites that specialize in hooking up with foreign ladies. Turns out the ladies and gents on those first world hookup sites are generally much less serious. A lot of them just want to have fun, meet new people, have different experiences and all that. Whereas Russian, Colombian, and Asian hookup sites are just loaded with young ladies with a definite game plan. That's right. Hook up with a first world guy with first world dough who can supply a first world visa. But you knew that already, right? So bottom line, you guys, just remember that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. By the way, if you believe I'm wrong about this, and you think those foreign ladies just want to meet and be friends and chat with a nice first world guy once in a while, then riddle me this. How come there just aren't any mating and dating hookup sites for first world gringas and Europeans looking for Latin guys? Hey, I'm not saying they don't have Latin, Russian, and Asian guy mating and dating sites, but mostly it's just guys looking for guys. You probably knew that already, too. Oh, and remember earlier when we were talking about Ecuador? I don't want to keep beating on that little country, but you need to hear this article. The title, Massive Budget Shortfall Sends Ecuador's Government Back to the Bond Market. So what's that mean and who cares? Well, it's about the lies governments tell their people to get votes, stay in office, and to make the citizens think they're in good hands with the present government. But the fact is, these days, whatever a government spokesman says on the record, something that sounds positive, you should be thinking exactly the opposite. And if that spokesman says something negative, in other words, they're doling out the bad news, you should be thinking it's much, much worse than they're presenting it. Take the following article, for example. It says Ecuador is now facing a $5 billion deficit. And so they have no choice but to return to the international bond market in 2018, says financial advisor to new president Lenin Moreno. Ah, but before Moreno got in, we all thought the government was totally flush. At least that's what former President Correa took credit for upon leaving office. Said he left Moreno a budget surplus. My, how things change in a year and a half. Anyway, the article goes on to say, according to Miguel Carvajal, head of Moreno's political affairs office, the government is preparing legislation that would raise the national debt limit to allow for emergency international bond issues. Sound familiar? Well, in a way it does. The U.S. does that about every fiscal period, except the U.S. can print money and get away with it. At least they have been for some time since the world operates on the U.S. petrodollar. Though if you've been paying attention to what's happening in China right now, you know the petrodollar could be doomed because China's the biggest oil importer. And you know, if any other country except the U.S. prints massive amounts of money, you get instant inflation. And a country like Ecuador can't even print money because it uses the U.S. dollar. And that complicates things. The only way they could raise money quickly is to go to the bond market. That's one way to get an influx of cash with minimal inflation. So there's no instant inflation like what happened in Zimbabwe and Venezuela. But in order to pay the bondholders their interest, that's why they buy them in the first place, they have to raise taxes. So all you folks living in Ecuador who are thinking about having a plan B there, expect a big rise in taxes of one kind or another. Anyway, according to this article, the Ecuadorian budget office says, "We face enormous difficulties if we do not act quickly to cover the budget gap," adding that they hope the deficit can be covered without raising taxes or eliminating subsidies for gasoline and LP gas. But he said these options, raising taxes, cannot be ruled out. Insert belly laugh here. You know what that means, right? Because surprise, surprise, the very next week, President Moreno announced a 12% VAT tax on all people who have private insurance policies. That'll affect 940,000 people. So he just raised your car and health insurance premiums by 12%. Then it says part of the problem lies in the fact that last week, the Ecuadorian Constitutional Court ruled the government must resume its support for the country's failing Social Security system, which, by the way, includes the failing national health care system, too. That's a system gringos thought so highly of, many of them came down to Ecuador just to take advantage of it. Then it goes on to say the government's Social Security and healthcare system creates a giant black hole deficit of around $1.6 billion annually. And then he says something that's typical of the chaos in Latin governments, and, well, in fact, all governments. Now get this, the president's financial spokesperson says, "Raising the national debt limit possesses its own problems because we don't exactly know how much our true debt is. Depending on who and how it's calculated," he says, "it ranges from about 36% to 67% of GNP, which still, by the way, is below the U.S. debt percentage of GNP, which is just over 100%. And then he says, and this is even crazier, "Our first challenge to get a handle on this is to arrive at a definition of debt." Say what? And these guys are in charge of a country? Talk about copying the failed U.S. system of debt management. It's like the Three Stooges are in charge. And finally, he says, "We blame the system of accounting on former President Rafael Correa." Hey, why not? That's what governments do best, pass the buck. Or I should say, second best. What they do best is steal. That was me, Johnny, that slipped that in. Then he says, "Back then, expediency and convenience ruled the day. And many of our debts were not called debts at all, but given other names. Now we will be facing the consequences." Man, does that sound familiar. So the government's reporting bad news, which can only mean it's much worse. Now the thing is, in all Latin countries, between around 20 to 50% of all working people pay no taxes at all. They either make too little or they're in the gray market, working for cash and off the books completely. And as for Latin businesses, depending which country you're in, between 20 and 50% of those are off the books too, so they pay no taxes. And really, there's no hope of rounding these guys up and putting them into the tax base. Not when you've got all those huge street markets where everything's paid for in cash. So what do you think is going to happen when they raise the taxes even more? They're going to squeeze the businesses that are on the books, of course. And all those fat and happy expat gringos, who they know have incomes, pensions, and Social Security many multiples of the average Ecuadorian worker. So, expect to be gouged. Hey, here's a brain teaser for you. Which of the 20 countries in Latin America is most unionized? Apart from Cuba and Venezuela, of course. Isn't that funny? The more socialized a country is, the more unionized it is. That seems to be a general rule. Hey, way back when, unions were great. Until, of course, they got so big they needed full-time administrators and leaders and power corrupts and all that. Anyway, the answer is, time's up, Argentina. Yeah, Doug Casey's favorite place. In fact, I get a lot of emails from people saying, "Johnny, why don't you talk about Argentina much?" Doug Casey and his followers have their own little version of Galt's Gulch. Of course, only about 2% of us could ever afford to live there, since the lots start at around $200,000 or $300,000, and that's just the lot, which is perfectly fine. It's cool if you got the money, then you can live anywhere you want. And you know, I like Doug Casey. But here's what he's not telling you about Argentina, or his blogs and newsletter don't say much about. The unions are so strong they could bring the country to a halt, and they have. For example, last month, bank employees, all unionized, went on strike, and it happened on a weekend, so the public had 4 days without bank services at all. So, most all ATMs in cities ran out of cash after the second day. Hey, how would you deal with that? And why do you think they went on strike? Higher wages, of course. And why would they strike and shut down the country for higher wages? Well, it's because Argentina's inflation last year was 25%. And when you have high inflation, people get raises all the time or they get pissed off. And the banks were offering only a 9% raise. So Argentina's banks are unionized, and of course all their government workers and teachers. That's true in almost every country, right? How about this? At last year's World Economic Forum in Buenos Aires, bus and subway workers went on strike for a day and caused chaos and confusion. That's what they intended to do. Why? Well, they wanted a bigger raise too. And as usual, Argentine teachers went on strike. They do that every year. In fact, they did it twice last year. Oh, and did I tell you that Argentine bank workers went on strike twice in 1 month? Right before a 4-day holiday too, which really caused chaos. 5 days with no banks, ATMs running out. How would you deal with that situation if you were running out of cash? Anyway, just a little heads up why I don't recommend Argentina for anyone's plan B. In fact, I'd never recommend any country that's got double-digit inflation. That kind of stress you just don't need. Though for the time being, when other countries' inflation's measured against the U.S. dollar, if you're living on an income or pension of U.S. dollars, you'll do fine. Still, you have to remember that the U.S. dollar is the ultimate unbacked funny money. Soon enough, it'll have its day of reckoning. So if you're in a high-inflation country, you might just be cleaning up if you're living on U.S. dollars, but it can't last. Which inevitably leads us to the question, how's your plan B coming? Have you got adequate boots on the ground yet to make some intelligent decisions? Are you hooking up with people and developing a network? How about the real world of boots on the ground? No, not Cancun or Costa Rica. There's a way, you know, to get the ultimate fast-track plan B going. Just come on down to my July 2018 Expat Insider Seminar, and it'll be in and around Guatemala. Go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's seminar link, and get all the info and sign-up details. Remember, the early bird specials are running. You don't want to miss out on that. Plus, we'll be spending about a week in that famous Altiplano region that almost no one's ever heard of. But you have, right? That means perfect spring weather all year round. Not to mention 3 to 4 growing seasons, no ice or snow, and no heating or air conditioning bills. You have to see it to believe it, so come on down.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos.